Welcome to the Full of Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording, and this is 1:18 p.m. That is Pacific Summertime, and today is March 15th, and today was the big day for the Fed, and everyone knew that they were going to raise interest rates. That's exactly what they did, but of course that's not how markets work. Markets are a discounting mechanism, and the market had discounted that the Fed was going to raise rates three times this year, and in order for prices to go higher, they would have had to they would have had to signal that they were going to raise rates perhaps four times this year. So with no change, because we had had a pretty substantial rally in equities that had been pulling back in response to this expectation that we might have a more hawkish tone from the Fed, then we've had a big move in equities. The Nasdaq 100 moved to a new all-time high, and that is really quite an impressive move. In fact, the Nasdaq had barely pulled back at all. Most of the pullback that we have seen had occurred in the S&P 500, and then that is a reasonably impressive move in here today, and confirms really short-term support in the region of 2,350. Perhaps the market that has been under the most pressure, at least the big markets that everyone is looking at, have been treasuries. And the yield is at 2.6%, was at 2.6%, and the price had come all the way down to test the lower side of the range, and it was oversold in the short term, so we get a bounce. It's a dynamic move off the lower side of the range. It increases the potential that we're going to go back up and test the upper side of the range. But of course, then big questions get asked, because we got all the way down to the lower side because people were anticipating a more hawkish tone. But just because they're not going to raise rates four times doesn't mean they're not going to raise them three times. It would have to be a reversal to say, well, perhaps they're only going to raise rates only one more time this year to send prices above 126. But nonetheless, there is the potential for an additional short-term rally in treasuries in the present moment. The other market that had been selling off really in a very persistent manner was gold, and it had been down on consecutive days, but that is an impressive bounce today off of the $1,200 area. And as we have been saying in numerous audios and videos over the last while, this is the region of the trend mean, and it is always the region that we tend to use. There's no mistake in that. We always say the region of the trend mean rather than the exact level, because markets can and often do, and it's perhaps more a rule that markets overshoot. That is exactly what we've seen with the precious metals, but the more important point is that we are beginning to see at least some sign that support is being found, and we had upside key reversals for both platinum, which was up $16, and silver. And platinum had really been on a very persistent decline, so there is certainly some evidence of short covering beginning to come into some of these precious metals, and silver up over 40 cents. And this is now because it had really done nothing at all for the last four sessions, it has countermanded in one session what the declines that it had put in over the last four. So at least some evidence of support coming in around this $17 area. And it is important from the perspective of the medium-term trend, because we have had a really rather impressive advance from late last year that rolled over. There was some big questions being asked, and there is now the potential that those questions are being answered and that the bulls are beginning to reassert their dominance. The other big moves that we had today were in the dollar, and it is worth perhaps looking at some of those individually. But the dollar index pulling back from that 102 level, the fact that the Fed is not going to be more hawkish, that they are perhaps conscious of the fact that the dollar has been firm for a while already, is really quite a positive outcome for stocks. The stock market does not need the dollar to surge higher. A reasonably firm currency is more than satisfactory from the perspective of most corporations, and not least exporters. the very big question is whether that 100 level is going to hold on the dollar index, and it really does need to do that in order to stave off the conclusion that this move above 100 is going to fail. So that is certainly a broad consideration, and it is perhaps most accurately seen in the euro. The euro is trading now above 107. It is approaching this 108 level for the third time, and that now represents the region of the trend mean. We have the Dutch election today as well, and I was really just looking at exit polls on the on Deutsche Welle's website, but there is no report just yet. Polls really only closed about an hour ago. And in fact, that is 2100 CET. I'm actually not sure whether they've actually closed just yet. When we look at it's 20 past 8 in the UK, so yes, they have closed. We probably won't have I think the first projection is for a few hours' time, but Rutte did rather well in the last week, not least because he got the boost of being able to respond in a robust manner to Erdogan. So that was removing at least some of the short-term risk from Europe, and of course we are now teeing up for the French election, which will be in April. But in the meantime, and a week is a long time in politics, it's also a long time in the currency markets, there is the potential that the euro is going to get up towards that 108 level and then ask questions. There is certainly the medium-term conclusion is that the ECB is not going to be raising rates anytime soon. The Fed is. So interest rate differentials are moving in the dollar's favor. But the US is also moving towards fiscal stimulus, and that needn't necessarily be a positive fact for the dollar. So it is really all to play for here, and from a technical perspective, the upper side of this range will have to continue to represent resistance, and the region of the trend mean will have to continue to represent resistance if the euro supply dominated stance is to remain credible. And I think the fact that the pound has rallied again in a reasonably robust manner from just above this 120 area is also worthy of consideration. That is a reasonably impressive move. It's certainly not as dynamic as the move that we had in January, but we are starting to see a little bit of bullish trampolining occurring at the lower side of this range. And it would suggest that the pound is not ready to break down just yet, that there is perhaps the whiff of some support coming in here, but of course a sustained move above the trend mean, which would break the progression of lower rally highs and really break the this staircase step sequence downtrend would really be required to break the medium-term bearish hypothesis. The currency that perhaps rallied most against the dollar was the yen, and that is a pretty impressive downward dynamic for the dollar from the region of 115. That 115 area was a little bit of a psychological resistance level. It really did need to get above it. It hasn't done that. It would suggest that we are in for some additional consolidation. The Nikkei futures, at least and at the present moment, are taking their cue from Wall Street. And the relative strength that we're seeing on stock markets would suggest that the fact that we're not going to have an accelerating pace of interest rate hikes is being greeted reasonably favorably by stock market investors. And I think that those are perhaps the most important points that really did need covering today. The fact that you have had a weaker dollar is beneficial for the commodity index, and the continuous commodity index had come right back down to test the lower side of its range, and it was a bit more positive in here today. Oil prices have been trading right in the region of their trend mean, and they were up by about a dollar today. not a dynamic move by any stretch, considering the size of the downward dynamics that we've seen over the last week. But it is in the region of the trend mean, and this is the area that, if support is going to be found, then it is around this area that one might expect at least some semblance of support to start coming back in. When we look at Asia today, and it was China that did rather well yesterday, and it was reasonably unchanged in here today. The mainland market has been largely range bound, and it has been particularly inert of late. You have the Party Congress going on right now. There has been a very successful effort by the Chinese administration to clamp down on news reporting. Bloomberg, for example, no longer reports on Chinese political machinations because they were largely given an ultimatum: do they want to be able to sell terminals in the country or not? And that has really impacted the. And Reuters is in a similar position. Reuters garners the vast majority of its money from selling terminals, not from news. So therefore, there is some evidence that they're being leaned on. The flow of news about the Party Congress has been notably thin, and yet it is a big decision-making process that is going on at the present time in China, and certainly they would appear to be influencing the market to keep it as news inert as possible. India intervened today to take some of the wind out of the rupee's advance, but not really in a dynamic fashion. But they do appear to be leaning on the currency around that 65.5 rupee level. Perhaps the more important point is that it is trading below the trend mean, or the dollar is trading below the trend mean for the first time in at least 2 years, and it has held the region of the 2013 low pretty impressively over the last year. The fact that Modi has come in with a resounding victory in Uttar Pradesh is a very positive outcome. It would suggest that he is going to win an additional term and that he can be more aggressive in his reform agenda. And the reform agenda is absolutely necessary in India because they have got masses of young people, and they need to find jobs for them. And so, I mean, there is a certain degree of urgency in all of this as well. When we look at the UK market, the big uncertainty about Brexit has been leaning on the pound, certainly, but it has been a because you also had news today that the unemployment rate in the UK is at its lowest point since the 1970s. It suggests that despite the fact that Brexit is dominating headlines, it is not having, as of yet, a particularly deleterious effect on the economy. And I think it is worth considering that the pound has been going down for a number of years already. The competitive advantage that that lends to the economy is already beginning to be priced in. The AIM index has really been a tower of strength, and it is approaching the upper side of a range that's been in evidence now for 7 years. So it isn't just that we see smallish cap stocks doing well in Japan or in the UK, but the MDAX in Germany, which is the mid caps, has continued to represent relative strength. Whereas the Russell index in the US is now lagging the NASDAQ 100, but it is still in a broad medium-term uptrend. Small caps are generally quite interest rate sensitive, and the fact that the Russell outperformed for such a long period but has now perhaps ceded its outperformance to the technology sector is perhaps an indication that it is sensitive, or at least a confirmation that it is sensitive to interest rates. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I wish all the best to all of you.